but the 29th of August airstrike shows why the U.S. should not be using them. The recent Kabul strike received an unusual amount of attention and scrutiny because it happened shortly after the bombing of the airport and because the Biden administration made a point of touting the strike as a success in preventing a second attack on U.S. forces. However, as the subsequent investigations have proven, the people killed in the airstrike had nothing to do with the local Daesh affiliate or any other terrorist organization. As Ahmadi's brother, Amal, told the New York Times, "All of them were innocent. You say he was Daesh, but he actually worked for the Americans." The U.S. military has defended the airstrike, but all of their specific claims fall apart under scrutiny. U.S. officials claim there was a secondary explosion that proves the explosives were present in the car, but according to investigative reports, no such second explosion occurred. The objects that they believe to be explosives were in fact water containers. Despite surveying Ahmadi for 8 hours on that day, they managed to get every important detail wrong about what he was doing, who he was with, and what he was transporting. The killing of these 10 innocent people is an outrage, but the bigger outrage is that this strike is not an outlier. Things like this have been happening in Afghanistan as well as in other countries for years, but they have received little or no attention. When these attacks take place in remote areas, as they often do, it is difficult for investigators and journalists to determine what really happened. Because the strike occurred in a major city, there were lots of witnesses and journalists could piece together the evidence much more easily. Who knows how many other innocent people have been targeted in the same way that Zamari Ahmadi was? How many people have been executed like this, simply for going about their daily business? Who seriously believes that this has anything to do with the security of the United States? Thanks to Daniel Hale's whistleblowing, we now know that the US drone warfare frequently kills civilians, and in some cases, most or all of the victims are actually civilians. As Daniel Hale has said, "With drone warfare, sometimes 9 out of 10 people killed are innocent. Many of the people targeted by drone strikes are not necessarily even militants, but just happen to be military-age males. Because the military wrongly assumes that everyone killed in an airstrike is an enemy combatant, unless proven otherwise, the number of civilians killed by US drone strikes is bound to be considerably higher than the government acknowledges." The US military has actually made a habit of either not counting or undercounting the civilian victims of US airstrikes and drone strikes. The US-led bombing campaign against Daesh in Iraq killed many thousands of innocent civilians, but the military acknowledged only a very small number of these. Asmat Khan and Anand Gopal reported in 2017, "We found that 1 in 5 of the coalition airstrikes we identified resulted in civilian deaths, a rate more than 31 times that acknowledged by the coalition. It is at such a distance from official claims that, in terms of civilian deaths, this may be the least transparent war in recent American history." U.S. airstrikes in Somalia have killed dozens of civilians, but U.S. AFRICOM Command has acknowledged only 5. The Kabul airstrike fits into this pattern. 10 people were killed, but the US military owned up only to killing 3 adults. drone strikes have served as the background noise of US warfare for the last decade and a half, and as such, they are mostly ignored until they cause enough loss of life to register briefly on the radar of Western media outlets. The drone war has continued across four administrations, and in recent years, the conduct of that war and the casualties that it has caused have been increasingly difficult to track. If Americans had a clearer view of who the victims of drone strikes really are, more of us would realize that the drone war needs to be shut down. It is not making the US any safer, and even if it were doing so at the margins, it comes at an unacceptably high price in terms of innocent lives lost. No government has the right to do what ours did to these 10 people in Afghanistan, and there is no justification for continuing a policy that regularly results in such slaughter.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
This man changed the world.
Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar. Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar.
Our bosses couldn't cope with the idea of an 80-year-old Ayatollah, which they didn't even know what an Ayatollah was, who lived on garlic and onions and yogurt, directing a revolution that was about to topple America's most important ally.
Shuma dar in qarn mojza kardid. ملت ایران ملت معجزه آسای قرن است.
الله اکبر خمینی رهبر. الله اکبر خمینی رهبر. الله اکبر.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. In the name of Allah, the exalted, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Salam, hello and welcome to our audience, and particularly a warm welcome to our listeners of our program, The Man Who Changed the World, a program dedicated to the memory of a great leader and the father of the Islamic Revolution, Imam Khomeini. May God bless his soul. We got to the point in this program where we've reached a stage where we've discussed the fact that Imam Khomeini, for those who don't have a belief in religion, will be an enigma. For those of us who do believe in Islam, he's not an enigma. He's the living essence and embodiment of the message of Islam. Dr. Hasni, very well, warm welcome to you on the program. Salam, and thanks for being with us. Yeah, really, we've enjoyed your contributions in the previous programs as well. But Dr. Hasni, as you quite rightly point out, and as we have said over and over again, you said that Imam Khomeini, a great man like Imam Khomeini, is like a mountain. And you said we have to stand back and take the tapestry of the context in which this mountain is located and look at the features of this mountain as well, in terms of its height, in terms of its appearance, in terms of its color. We talked about the fact that Imam Khomeini is a mountain.
You know, the problem with us is this. We only care about all five senses, you know.
That's right, absolutely.
In order to understand something beyond that, you have to go and try very hard in order to understand.
Well, let's go beyond
the significance.
Let's go beyond that. Let's do it. Let's make an attempt, even in our own humble way. As I say, we are not in any way going to fathom Imam Khomeini, because he was a man of God, a true man of God, the living, the way of life of Islam as it should be lived by all of us. And as I say, I myself am personally sometimes ashamed that we are not the kind of Muslims we ought to be in terms of following the legacy of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, let alone following an example like Imam Khomeini. May God bless his great soul. But let's put it in this context. Let's now look at something that, as you say, is beyond those five senses. Because there is something about Imam Khomeini which is beyond those five senses. We talked about that he was speaking from a time, because he speaks from the timelessness of the Quran. Because you told us there's no boundary here, isn't there? It's limitless. So if we want to touch this hikmah, if we want to touch this wisdom, I want to look at the fact that Imam Khomeini has said things which, under normal circumstances, and I mean in the context that many scholars have not said anything different from what Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayh, may God bless his soul, has said at the end of his life in terms of the legacy of the Prophet being that I leave two weighty things, two valuable things, the Holy Quran and the infallibles, my family. Now many scholars of the Ahlul Bayt, great scholars of the Ahlul Bayt, great philosophers from the school of Ahlul Bayt have mentioned this. But there are other schools as well, aren't there? There are other schools in the Muslim world as well, which also have their own reasoning, their own philosophy, their own understanding of the Quran. And they don't quite look at things the way we understand them from the school of Ahlul Bayt. And yet Imam Khomeini says the same thing, but the impact is entirely different. Other scholars have said before, but we've had many arguments about this, and there have been many controversial programs dedicated to this subject, that whether this is a sahih, whether this is mutawatir, is this something that really the Prophet was going to do, because he asked for a pen and paper in the last days of his life so that the ummah, the Muslim ummah, wouldn't go astray. Yet Imam Khomeini has done something which even I myself am puzzled by, that he has stated the same controversial statement, which, let it be known to the listeners, is not accepted by many parts of the Islamic Ummah. And yet, you know, we discuss this aspect of walayat.
It's not the status quo.
Yeah, it's not the status quo. And we discuss the fact about the importance of walayat, but many don't accept it. Mm-hmm. Yet Imam Khomeini does the same thing. And we see his posters with the Rushdie affair. You remember that, mm-hmm. in 89, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
The Rushdie affair, which was a complete attempt to blaspheme the Quran, to blaspheme the Prophet by the enemies of Islam. And yet we see the fact that Sunni brethren are holding up the posters of Imam Khomeini in light of the fact that he has said something very controversial and for many schools of thought is very difficult to swallow even to this day. And yet we are now seeing the fruits of what Imam Khomeini is saying. May God bless his soul through the Islamic awakening. Tell us, brother, how did that happen? How does this dynamic work in this context where other scholars, may I say this, unfortunately, couldn't get that across?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brother Ejaz, again, so many different subjects. First thing first.
Sure.
Talking about the legacy. The legacy it is, the legacy it was.
Mm-hmm.
The legacy lives on.
And what it will be, what it will become.
My point is this. Mm. We always say Imam Khomeini, peace be upon him. This is his last name, referring to the piece of land, the geography that I was talking
sure.
to you about,
sure.
the last program. But I'm asking you this. What was his short name, first name?
Ruhullah.
There you go.
Yeah.
We always say Imam Khomeini, peace be upon him.
Yeah, yeah.
His first name was Ruhullah. Mm. What does it mean? Spirit of God.
God. And this is also a title of a great prophet in the Quran.
Exactly. You see?
Mm.
And a title for a new book to be written.
Yeah.
That's what we can talk about Imam Khomeini. Mm.
Imam Khomeini lives within us, every single of us.
He does.
The hope, the belief, the struggle, the trying so hard to guide every single person on the planet. You mentioned the word Rushdie, supposed to mean guidance, and it wasn't.
Misguided.
Just like Pharaoh claimed to take the children of Israel on the right path, to the right path, and show them the promised land, and he didn't.
No.
He couldn't deliver.
No.
He couldn't come through clean. And it happened to him what he was deserved to be happened to him. So, Spirit of God is the legacy, is the power. Mm-hmm. What is the Spirit of God? Think about it for a second.
This is something now beyond the senses, isn't it?
Exactly. Because we are so entangled with material stuff, materialistic stuff.
We're blind.
You know the expression in the States, it doesn't matter what you do for someone. Mm. Let's talk about for a second,
Sure.
know, for the sake of argument.
Yeah, yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
Let's talk about in a relationship,
yeah.
a mutual one.
Yeah.
Okay? It doesn't matter the male or female doing for whoever,
right,
okay?
Right.
For his partner.
Sure.
She always asks, I'm talking about the Western mentality here, because
yeah.
we all live there.
Yeah.
We know this.
Mm.
He said, by the way, what you have done for me lately? There is no satisfaction.
Mm. No satisfaction, right.
It doesn't matter what you do.
Mm.
Okay, you eat, you drink, you wear nice clothes.
Yeah, sure.
You drive nice cars.
You're trying to live a good quality of life.
There's no end to it.
Mm.
There is no saturation.
Right.
You always hunger for something. You're always thirsty for something.
Sure.
The Spirit of God, you have to pause for a second. What does it really mean? Mm. Why we don't ask ourselves, instead of saying, what you have done for me lately, what you have done for the reality, for the truth lately.
Lately.
That's or likely, like they call it.
Yeah.
What have you done for the truth, for the sake of truth? We always say, you know, this is it became kind of habit, and habit in the sense that you're not aware of it, this is not a good aspect.
Mm.
Okay? We always say, oh, for God's sake, for God's sake. We always swear by God. Whenever we need God in that sense, in order to fulfill some material needs of ours, we always refer to God. But who actually God is, what kind of attention we pay to this important matter? Why we don't ask ourselves, what have I done for the truth lately? Spirit of God helps us to understand that beyond this worldly, materialistic aspect of life, there is something else to think about.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that, you know, there are two, three elements that come into this.
You mentioned something about the school of thought.
Let me give you
another example.
Yeah, but what I'm seeing here is there's a combination of things in Imam Khomeini, may God bless his great soul, which left others not able to say contrary to this, where they have been able to do it in the past. And this is what I find is unique here.
Brother, let me give you an example.
Mm. Because, as you say, the Spirit of Allah is like
I'm
going
trying
back
to explain that.
Yeah, it's going back to the fact that of the Quran, as you said,
exactly.
These are those men who have made a pledge to Allah to give that correct pledge that they are going to do what the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, commanded them to do.
And it could be a broad way of understanding.
Mm.
Brother, this is a problem with material stuff, okay?
Yeah.
Think about a piece of rock, stone,
okay?
Solid. This is the lowest level of being, okay?
Sure.
And in the agricultural way of living, we use soil, which is a solid.
Sure, sure.
The lowest level of being.
Yeah, mineral.
We use it, mineral.
Yeah.
We use it to plant trees in it, vegetables. In order to make produce.
Yeah.
To be consumed by us, okay?
Sure.
This is one way.
Sure.
So solid for plantation.
Mm.
Then plantation is consumed by animals.
Animals.
Okay, cows eat grass.
Yeah.
They always done.
And always will do. Right.
Okay? Yeah. No matter what. No matter where.
Yeah.
No matter what century. Because last time we were talking about 20th century, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's ironic to think about, oh, when we're talking about 20th century, we think we are so modern. We are so sophisticated.
Yeah, yeah.
We're putting a class for someone else.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
We look at different people, oh, different nation.
Mm.
You are inferior. Mm. We are superior to you. Why? Because we live in the 20th century. But it doesn't mean nothing, the way I'm trying to explain it.
That's a very solid, good point.
Solid for plantation, plantation for animal. Mm. Animal for consumption by human.
Human.
Human for what? This is my question. This is a problem with the materialistic mentality of looking at things. Okay?
From that point of view,
from that point of view. Mm. But you have to think about it.
Mm.
You have to think about it and come with a good answer for yourself first.
Mm.
You have to satisfy your curiosity and your need in order to understand, in order to gain the true knowledge. I'm talking about the true reality here.
Mm.
Because beyond these five senses, there are so many different things. We call it spirit. Spirit is not material.
Mm.
Okay?
Quite.
Remember a few decades away in Germany, okay, this doctor, whoever, in researcher, okay, this guy was passing away.
Mm-hmm.
They thought that they would come up with a new idea in order to prove that there is a spirit or there is not.
Mm.
They put this ready to pass away.
That's right, yes, they did
on
that.
The scale, okay, on this sophisticated digital scale.
Yeah.
They're trying to weigh the soul.
Yeah.
Or the guy who went to the moon said, look, what did you see on the moon?
Moon.
Said, I saw everything but God. I mean, that's a shame. That's
yeah,
very
that's a
sad.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mm.
So, plantation for animal, animal for human consumption.
Mm.
What is the role of human? What happens? He consumes. Then what happens? This is a question you have to think about.
Yeah.
Everybody has to answer to find a good answer.
So, in other
for
words,
himself.
We're going back to what we call in Islam the fitrah. We're going back to this primordial nature.
The insight.
The insight.
Yes.
And this is what I'm saying, that Imam Khomeini makes that same statement, that same hadith, and yet the rest of the schools of thought are silent. And not only silent, they're picking up his picture, and they're also bearing witness to the fact that this is a man who is the spirit of Allah of our time.
Exactly.
And beyond.
He was Ruhullah before he was Khomeini. Anybody mention his name back days, you know, during the 15 of Khordad, you're talking about 50 years ago.
Mm.
They call him Sayyid Ruhullah. And Sayyid in Arabic is someone who takes care of the rest of them.
Takes care of the rest of them.
He's a master. He's a generous. He's a noble.
Mm.
He's a noble one. We don't pay attention. Brother, this is a problem again.
Mm.
We don't pay attention to these words.
Yes,
we think this is only a name.
Yeah.
But name should have someone, you know, to be felt with.
But it has characteristics. It has a personality in itself.
It sure does. He was Ruhullah. Because he was Ruhullah, then if you are attached to God, in that sense that I tried to explain.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay?
Mm.
If you are Ruhullah, number one, you are not scared of nothing.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter how many enemies in front of you.
Mm.
You know, one of the titles for the commander of the faithful, he was Karar. Why? Because he was Ruhullah at the same time.
Precisely.
He was Valiullah. Vali what? He was connected with God.
Mm-hmm.
And God is not material. So it tells us that we shouldn't be trapped in the sense that anything we cannot see with eye, with the physical eye, anything we cannot hear with this earthly ear, okay, vahi, revelation, is some kind of hearing. But not everybody is
able to hear it. Yeah.
So if you cannot hear, if you cannot see it, if you cannot touch, if you cannot feel, if you cannot taste, therefore, it doesn't exist. That's not the case.
Mm-hmm.
How come that school of... You mentioned something very nice.
Yes.
The school of thought.
Mm-hmm.
The school of thought goes wrong when you put an end, put a ceiling to an understanding.
Well, that's very interesting.
If you limit yourself to something, Therefore, you cannot go beyond. You cannot fly.
Fly.
And the sky is the limit. Because God is a limitless being, if you will.
And he has to open a limit.
And I'm trying to speak so simple.
Yeah,
yes.
but you're talking about a gate or a door that has to open to this limitless world.
Exactly. That's why Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon
him, says,
"Ana madinatulim." I am the city of knowledge.
Beautiful.
And Aliyum Baba. Ali is the gate. And anywhere you want to, anytime, brother, it doesn't matter where.
Hmm.
This is the manner of doing. Anytime you want to enter a building, a house, how are you going to do it? You're going to jump from the back wall. You're not going to do that. You're going to enter from the gate. But the gate should be the correct one.
Yes.
Okay? This school of thought stops itself from solid. It comes to plantation, which is fine, which is true.
True.
Okay? To the animal level of being, which is true.
True.
And the relationship between each, which is true.
True.
And from animalistic level, you come to human.
Mm.
But you stop there. This is where you go wrong.
Wrong.
This is where you go astray. That's why you see suicide. In Islam, suicide is forbidden. You know why? There's a reason behind it. Anything God tells you, there is a reason behind it. The point is, you might understand, you should understand.
Same.
Or, if you don't understand, you go look for the truth.
Truth. For the
there
hikmah.
Are people who understand.
Yeah, search for the wisdom.
Okay?
Mm.
And there might be a case that God is testing you, for example.
Sure.
But at least you understand that God is going to test you.
Test you.
There is no reason. There is wants to put your worshipness, if you will, your being a slave to God, your abd, okay, to God, by testing you. But there is reason for it. In Islam, suicide is forbidden. Why? Because you don't belong to yourself. This body is not yours.
So, in other words,
it's only a deposit.
In other words, what you're saying is, Imam Khomeini, may God bless his great soul, through the Bab, through this gate of knowledge.
Even through the right ball.
The right
door. Mentioned something about source.
To the source.
I should add.
Source of the knowledge.
I should
which
add
is,
to this.
Yeah.
Source is not enough, brother. Source, the singular.
Yeah, but what I wanted to.
Sources yeah. is not enough. Pure source.
Pure source, yes. The pure source, which is the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, himself.
And he's the pure source.
The pure source. But the point I'm making here is, that he said this statement, this hadith of the Quran, to raise the bar for the other schools.
And he did indeed. Imam Khomeini.
That's why they couldn't argue with this point. Because as you say,
you know how you judge a person, a personality? You know how you value someone? When he or she knows his value or her value.
Excellent.
You are not yourself. You don't belong to yourself. That's why you cannot.
Yes.
You cannot cease your life.
Yeah.
You cannot commit suicide. This is one of the unforgivable sins of all. You can't kill yourself. You don't belong to yourself. This pain is not mine. Can I? It doesn't belong to me. Can I own it?
No, you can't.
Can I own it then destroy it? I can't.
No.
This is only someone gave it to me. Okay, for a higher purpose.
A trust.
Very good. A trust. This is. Our soul, back to Ruhullah, our soul belongs to him. This is a divine source, divine spirit. Ruhullah in that sense.
Yes, and Ruhullah in this sense, in the sense of this great personality, has pledged the purity of this soul as a trust to fulfill that.
To the only pure source.
Source.
To begin with.
Yeah.
To begin with.
To begin with.
And to end up with. Of course, because we are all holding responsible in front of him, in the eye of Allah. He's the final judge. Do you see that? It changes the whole story.
That has been the key success in terms of bringing the Muslim Ummah together to understand this importance of this concept of Walaya.
And if somebody follows this path, of course, he's going to capture the hearts. Why? Because the hearts does not belong to
you. Yeah, because
or
we
me.
Mentioned that he's from the masses.
Brother Ejaz, again, hearts, minds, you might manipulate it.
Yeah.
Okay, brainwash.
Yeah.
We have that.
Sure.
But hearts does not belong to me or you. or any government for that matter.
Exactly.
He
owns them.
He's the muqallib al-qulub. Remember the the prayer that
please quote from the Quran if you can, you know, for
muqallib al-qulub,
as an example.
Him.
Yeah.
And qalb is something that it constantly moves.
It's dynamic.
Struggle.
Yeah.
It's dynamic.
Yeah, it's within the self struggle.
You know, in a medical term, I don't know, I'm asking, all right? We all hear about the different kind of cancers, okay?
Yes, yeah.
All different kind of cancers.
Sure.
So far, I haven't heard about cancer of heart.
No, I've not heard about
this. I don't know. I might be wrong.
Yeah, I haven't heard about it, no.
But if that's the case, if that
they
would
call
be
it
the
heart
case,
disease, for example.
Heart disease, but not heart attack.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what
heart attack, I would say.
Cardiac arrest.
It's something that you should think about at least, you know, because when you lodge it with someone, okay, you can push it. You cannot go further.
Yeah.
But the thing is, okay, if someone gets to know somebody, gets to like or to love somebody, which we're supposed to do with God, we have to get to know him.
Know him.
Okay.
Yes.
Then we have to love him.
Yes.
And the love comes from knowledge. That's why, you know, all this, you know, earthly love is not true love. Okay?
No, it's not.
Why? Because there is so many different kind of reasons for divorces.
Yeah.
If you say you love someone, how come you beat them up? The situation of love and hate.
Yeah.
You can love something, somebody, and hate it at the same time.
Yeah.
Am I wrong or what?
Sure.
I'm just raising these points in order to think.
Yeah.
Because the subject of this program is to understand.
Yes. But God's love is not.
We are going to try to understand.
Yeah, but God's love is not in that context.
Okay? So, number one, you have to understand. Number two, you have to love.
Mm-hmm.
In order to prove your love, then what have you done for me lately? God can ask us this.
Yes.
On a daily basis.
Yes. And
God,
he has the right.
Again. And he has the right because he created us.
Sure.
For what? He didn't need us. Did he?
No, he didn't.
He didn't.
No.
Why? He gave us favor.
Mm.
He did us a great, unimaginable, unexplainable, boundless favor.
Yeah.
So, if someone give you a car, for example, car, whatever the price might be, how many times you're going to say, look, I really, truly appreciate you?
Yeah. How many times are you
going to say,
that?
If someone gives you, a camera, okay? How many times are you going to say, hey, guy, you're so nice
Yeah,
to me.
You got
Thank
it on
you.
Eid, for example.
But God gave us two eyes.
Yeah.
You know, what kind of camera is this?
Yeah.
It works for 8 years
Yeah.
without repair in some cases, if you don't ruin it,
yeah.
if you take care of it,
yeah.
okay? But do we tell God every day, God, thank you for eyes. Thank you for giving me ears. We don't.
What does it say in the Quran?
This is the difference.
What does it say in the Quran that man is mostly ungrateful?
Brother, to make the long story short, and we can go on in the next program.
Yeah.
Okay? The difference between Ruhullah, between Imam Khomeini and me.
Me.
I'm talking about myself here now.
Sure,
Okay? Is that he thinks about this stuff, and he believes in it, and he loves this stuff, and he acts upon it. Period.
And that's why.
And that makes the beauty.
Nobody could argue with him.
Nobody can argue. Nobody can touch it, because he's talking about the truth. You
exactly.
might hide the truth one day, one moment, but you cannot fool everybody all the time.
And I love the fact that, you know, you say this, and I love the way it came. This is another thing. It's not something that Imam Khomeini
the way it was to come.
The way it was to come. Thank you for that. Thank you. I mean, there's an order to this. There's a logic you can follow with this as well. That certain events happen over that 10-year period as the Imam was living, he puts it into a context where people are beginning to see the unimaginable, beginning to taste the unimaginable, the impossible. As you said right at the beginning, the impossible is becoming a reality in the late 20th century. And as we get to the end, he puts it, this context of this hadith, after we see the fall of communism, he's already sowing the seeds to show that this is the path we've got to go on after you see the collapse of this. We'll discuss it in the next session. But thanks,
God willing, we do.
Thanks, Dr. Hassani, for
Thank
the
valuable
contribution
you,
on this program. It's been really excellent and remarkable. Thanks a lot, because when we talk about this personality, really we open up some really remarkable doors. And all, it leaves me to say, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and blessings and mercy of Allah be upon you all. And thanks for listening.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
The light.
A passionate Indian teacher has turned a road into a classroom and houses walls into blackboards to make up for the prolonged school shutdown caused by COVID-19. Deep Narayan Nayak is working with nearly 60 students in a small tribal village in the eastern state of West Bengal. He started to teach students, most of whom are first-generation learners, last year, when all local schools closed under lockdown restrictions. Nayak says that he was worried about his students' education, since many of them did not have access to smartphones or internet connection. But thanks to his initiative, his students can learn everything from popular nursery rhymes to the importance of masks.
We are teaching children everything, how to maintain social distancing, how to wear a mask, what is the importance of masks and hand washing. The children came forward and participated in this initiative, and they are also educating others.
The parents and villagers are grateful to Nayak, saying that they are happy their children are no longer wasting their time loitering around in the village. Nayak is now popularly known as the teacher of the street among the villagers. Water scarcity is a significant and accelerating problem for people worldwide. A UK-based charity, WaterAid, has installed life-size ice sculptures in London to show the fragility of water and the threat posed by climate change.
Climate change is water change, so it means that droughts will get longer, which means that previous reliable sources of water just won't be there. It means that flooding, sometimes in the same country, becomes very severe, polluting water sources and destroying infrastructure. But it also means unpredictability. Water sources that people have relied on for generations, for farming as well as for their health and hygiene, are just no longer there.
Farr, a policy analyst for WaterAid, said people with no access to clean water are bearing the brunt of climate change. The sculptures opposite Tower Bridge are part of the charity's fight, which calls on the British government to increase funding for climate adaptation. The sculptures show how clean water is essential for human survival, with some being depicted carrying buckets and pots in search of water. The environmental group wanted to highlight the threat climate change poses to our planet.
Egyptian archaeologists have completed the renovation of a tomb of an ancient king, providing a rare glimpse into the world's oldest known pyramid. The 4,700-year-old Step Pyramid was built during the reign of King Djoser. The southern tomb is the second for the king, and his smaller, it is smaller compared to royal tombs. Some researchers suggest it was built for the preservation of Jose's internal organs, while others say it was built symbolically. It had been undergoing renovation for 15 years before being reopened to the public.
120 tons of blocks were raised by Egyptian hands, astonishingly and with the determination to achieve one goal. That is the reconstruction of the tomb, just as it was 4,700 years ago.
The complex is historically significant, as it is the earliest known example of the Egyptian custom of pharaohs being buried in pyramid-shaped tombs. According to experts, ancient Egyptians believed that this step design served as a gigantic stairway of the soul of a deceased pharaoh that could ascend to the heavens. Now, we've all grown up playing with a pinball machine at least once in our lifetime. Now, a free runner has designed a giant scaled-up pinball machine, turning it into his personal playground. Latvian free runner Paša Petkuns came up with the idea of playing on real-life pinball machines during a road trip. The set, made in London, is not for the faint-hearted, as it is slanted at a 45-degree angle. Paša thought his breakdancing experience might help, but in the end, he had to invent a whole new style of movement. The producer of the film, showing the performance on the machine, described the set as very scary.
It's 17 meters high, it's 16 meters wide, and 20 meters long. It's an angle of 45 degrees, and I don't know if you understand how much 45 degrees is. It's like, it's a double black diamond slope. It's something you don't go down, you can't, because it's more like falling than anything else.
It does sound scary. Now, the impressive set, designed to look like a retro pinball machine you might find in arcades, took 7 weeks to construct. Global landmarks like the Eiffel Tower and the Statue of Liberty are featured in it. Petkuns works as a Hollywood stunt double. Plastic pollution has become one of the most pressing environmental issues, as disposable products overwhelm the world's ability to deal with them. But a young Spanish designer is dedicating his time to the cause of recycling plastic waste. 28-year-old Humberto Les quit his job last year to focus full-time on his environmental efforts. He collects trash from the coast of his home island of Gran Canaria. Humberto usually picks up an average of 5 kilos from the shore at a time. After he is done compiling, he processes the material and turns it into pieces of furniture. Humberto's aim is to make the task of recycling plastic economically justifiable, that is.
I decided to leave my job, stability, to come back here to develop a project to clean the coastline by designing furniture, because I realized that the coast could not be cleaned in an altruistic manner. So I found a way to give economic value to the waste found in the coast.
Humberto is making products ranging from clothes hangers to stools, but he also wants to create larger products with a longer lifespan in the future. According to the UN Environment Program, only 9% of all plastic waste produced throughout history has ever been reprocessed. Around 80% of it remains accumulated in dumps, landfills, or nature.
A floating concert venue has entertained music lovers in London. Renowned pianist Masayuki Tayama and his partner started a project to play on a canal boat traversing the city's waterways 2 months ago. Since then, they have performed 9 concerts, and their upcoming performances are already sold out in months ahead. The couple came up with the idea after living on a narrow boat with a digital piano.
This is the piano boat, which is the only canal boat of its kind. It was built 2-hour specifications as a floating concert venue. So we have a brand new Steinway grand piano, and here we give musical experiences for people on the canals.
The artists believe the experience is very different from playing in regular concert halls. They say recitals on the boat create a unique interaction with the audience and it feels friendlier.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Small fairy pigeon Vader has interrupted a cricket match in Ireland. A playful puppy ran into the field of a semi-final match and caught the ball. The scene caused laughter amongst those present. After a few minutes of chasing the dog, players managed to get the ball back. The funny video has gone viral on the internet.
A caiman and a local tour guide in Bolivia's Amazon region have formed an unlikely friendship with bond going viral on the internet. Although people are warned to stay away from caimans, Alejandro Gil has struck up a friendship with one special reptile named Jesus. Despite the caiman's carnivorous nature, it shakes his tail and allows Gil to pat it on the head after being fed. At 4 meters long, Gil, however, admits that getting close to Jesus does still make him nervous.
My knees shake when I work with Jesus. I'm always scared and very careful and also respectful to tourists. Guides in the Pampa de Yacuma and across Bolivia consult with tourists before undertaking an activity. If they agree with it, then we do it. If one person is not in agreement with an activity, then we don't do it.
Gil says they are only able to get in touch with a caiman in a dry season when the river is at low water levels. They lose the reptile in January when the river rises. Caimans inhabit Mexico, Central and Northern South America, from marshes and swamps to mangrove rivers and lakes. Their diet consists of a great deal of fish, but caimans also hunt insects, birds and small mammals and reptiles. A new initiative has been launched to turn the spotlight on the misery of Syrian refugee children. Little Amal, a giant puppet depicting a young Syrian refugee child, has arrived in St. Peter's Square in Vatican City. This 3.5 meter tall puppet has traveled all the way from Syria to Turkey, Greece, and Italy. It will then go to France, Switzerland, Germany, Belgium, and the UK to focus attention and the urgent needs of young refugees. Syrian refugees, especially children, are in a dire situation after being driven from their homes due to the conflict in their country. Archaeologists have discovered the largest ever bronze mask in an archaeological site in China's southwest Sichuan province.
This is a large bronze mask we unearthed from the central park of the number 3 ritual pit. The widest part, from one tip of ear to the other, is 136 centimeters, and the height is around 75 centimeters. It can be regarded as the largest bronze mask unearthed in Sanjingdui, and even the largest in the Shang and the Shu dynasties.
The mask was found together with other cultural objects, such as ivory and bronzeware. These items needed to be removed first before handling the mask, which made the extraction process complicated. Restoration work is underway on the largest bronze mask taken from the site. The relic is believed to be thousands of years old, dating back to the Shu period. The site is an archaeological treasure mine belonging to the Bronze Age of over 4,000 years ago. The area was first discovered in China in the late 1920s. Australian zoo has welcomed two baby bilbies, an endangered species. Their birth has brought joy and hope to zookeepers and wildlife enthusiasts. The baby bilbies were born in Taronga Zoo in Western Sydney. Zookeepers named the two male joeys, Molly and Cliff, after a national park that once was home to herds of this animal. The birth of the joeys has raised hope among the zookeepers of reintroducing the species to the wild. Bilbies were once found across 70% of Australia's landmass. They are believed to have inhabited Australia for up to 15 million years.
Chameleons changing color is one of the most fascinating traits amongst living creatures. Now, can't humans make a robot with the same capability? In a science lab in Seoul, a team of engineers have created a robot that mimics the color-changing ability of the famous lizard. The researchers have made the skin with a special ink that changes color based on temperature and is controlled by tiny flexible heaters. The head engineer says creating a wearable device that can actively change color and patterns was the main goal of the study.
The pattern of South Korea's military uniform is made for woodland and certain colors. So if you wear this military uniform and go to the desert, you can be easily exposed. Actively changing colors and patterns to match different surroundings is the key of camouflage technology, and we made this possible.
The total thickness of the flexible, multi-layered artificial skin is thinner than a human hair. The scientists envision that their research can be adapted for military uniforms to help soldiers blend into their surroundings. It can also be used for aesthetic purposes such as fashion, exterior of cars and buildings, as well as future display technology.
Visitors and staff of a French zoo have been amazed by the surprise birth of two African lion cubs. The babies, a boy and a girl, were born 2 weeks ago in Amnival Zoo. Their birth was unexpected due to their father's advanced age of 17. The cubs will live under constant surveillance for a couple of months so that their health is reassured. According to zookeepers, they are currently in good health. The Amnival Zoo has asked people on social media to name the newborns. The German capital Berlin turns colorful as the annual mural festival has brought artists together to display their works around the city. Artists have instilled new life into neighborhoods with giant murals that attracted hundreds of visitors. This year's event was resumed under the motto Home Street Home after its 2020 edition was canceled due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Organizers say the paintings invite people to discover the city as a gigantic open-air gallery.
این چیزی که انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خداست، ذکر الله تطمئن می‌کند.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth.
Allah ya Allah subhana
Dear brothers and sisters,
You're listening to The Spring of Truth from IRIB English Radio. In this special episode, we select a short part of Imam Khomeini's will. We take pride that Nahjul Balagha, which is the greatest manual of spiritual and material life after the Holy Quran, is the greatest book of man's liberation, and its spiritual and governmental dictums offer the greatest path to salvation belongs to our infallible Imam. We take pride that the infallible Imams from Ali ibn Abi Talib till the Savior of humanity, His Holiness Mahdi, the Master of Ages, who lives by the power of Almighty and oversees our affairs, is our Imam and our leader.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And you are listening to Spring of Truth coming to you from IRIB English Radio. So stay tuned with us. I am your host, Abdullah Al-Musawi, an Islamic researcher at the Seminary of Qom. We are looking at Imam Khomeini's point of view when it comes to Ashura. Imam Al-Khomeini was quoted saying, "If we weep until doomsday for Imam Al-Hussein, we ourselves will benefit by it, not the Imam." When we go and we listen to these lecturers and to those who lament and cry for the Imam Salamullah Alayh, they help us elevate our souls. They help us elevate our minds. They help us become better people. And that is the whole aim and goal. I could go to the majlis of Imam Hussein Salamullah Alayh, listen to a hadith, listen to a verse, and then I decide and make a choice that I will not sin from here and on. So that's a benefit for me, not for the Imam. Always the benefit of this majalis goes to us.
When your horse returns to our camp riderless, and your son and I emerge out sorrowful. When your horse returns to our camp riderless, and your son and I emerge out sorrowful. Why did you leave us to fend for ourselves? Hussein, Hussein, the slain martyr.
So always attending these majalis are in fact for our benefit. Even the German historian Morfin, he said in this regard, he said the Muslims will not live a humiliation as long as they have these councils, these majalis, in which they learn the lessons of courage, sacrifice, and through this way the Shiites learn the lesson of courage and heroism. So when I go to the majalis of Imam al-Hussein, I go to learn first and foremost. So I am the one who is benefiting. Thank you for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
IRIB English Radio.